OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. Now is the time to stock up if you want the best selection of hard-to-find ammo. Friendly and knowledgeable customer service, quality and selection you can count on, and the ammo you need delivered fast right to your door. OnlineAmmo.com is the real deal. And my buddy Hank Hayes, the VP of OnlineAmmo.com and master of firearms training and self-protection, wants you to have the code ship free now on all orders over $200. OnlineAmmo.com is more than just an ammo retailer. They also have optics, accessories, and firearms for sale at OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. OnlineAmmo.com.
Nothing less than overt acts of aggression against the American people and their rights.
Exercise your rights in a safe way.
Stupidity to think that someone hell-bent on violating the law against murder will magically be stopped by a gun control law.
Politicians that infringe on our God-given rights. He calls them out. He's not here to play.
You heard the man. Let's go. We are locked in. We are loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. It's all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. And I am Royce, your oh-so-gracious host. Yep, still reeking of gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and that little faint but tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people. Yep, that would be hops number 9. You know it. Got a lot to talk about today, as we always do. It was great to have Rockin' Rod Rao on the last episode. Mr. Luis Valdez will be back on the program again soon. He is the Florida, Puerto Rico, and U.S. Virgin Islands director of GOA. Great guy and a staunch little pit bull. And we're going to be talking about things that have been shaken up in Tallahassee here for us Floridians in line of constitutional carry, because the fight is not over yet. And we'll let Lewis talk about that on the program following this one. So you don't want to miss that. That guy's an awesome dude, I tell you. Also, if you'd like first access to all episodes plus media content that other people just don't get, check me out at patreon.com/shootingstraightradio podcast and become a sponsor there for as little as $5 a month. I'd sure appreciate it, and I will certainly thank you. And I'll, with your permission, I'll give you a shout out here on the program, among other cool perks, for being a sponsor of this program. Shooting Straight Radio podcast also has a Farcebook page, and you can message me there if you need to get a hold of me. Also, on every episode page on all of your favorite podcast platforms, if you'll scroll down through the sponsors, at the very bottom, you'll see a thing there that says Contact Royce, and there's contact information for me there. So there's many different ways to get a hold of me. I always respond. If you have a question, a comment, something you'd like to talk about on the program, hit me up at any of those venues and we'll get her done. Now let's get it rolling here. Did I not say, when did I say it? Multiple times now, that the Democrat Communist Party are there intentionally causing a spike in violent crime with these soft-on-crime prosecutors in many cities throughout America, namely in the heavily communist-occupied territories of California, New York, New Jersey, places like that, Chicago especially, where they are spanking the hands of people committing very violent crimes, putting them back on the street again. And some of these people are being arrested 4 times in a single day for committing violent offenses. And they're not being prosecuted. Now, I told you before that they would do this in order to spike the crime rate and then turn and point to the crime rate and say, see, this is the problem we have with all this concealed carry stuff going on. And they would blame gun owners and the right to keep and bear arms for the spike in violent crime, when nothing could be further from the truth, of course. But I told you they would blame it on lawful keepers and bearers. And one of the articles we're going to go through in a little bit on, here on the show today, it's going to basically exemplify that. Okay. But first, let's go out to Washington State. And Washington State, we'll address them a couple of times in this program. But the first one we're going to be talking about is an article by Dave Workman in Ammoland.com. And this article, the title of it is Progressive Experiments Have Failed. And that's a quote from a frustrated county sheriff in Washington. And here's the article. On the same day his department was honoring the memory of a deputy gunned down in the line of duty by an armed convicted felon. Notice it didn't say an armed concealed carrier. Another lawman in a department two counties away was allegedly shot and then run over by another convicted felon. Now, Pierce County, Washington, Sheriff Ed Troyer is saying the community is suffering from what he called a failed experiment. One of Troyer's deputies, Dominique, or also known as Dom, Calada, was fatally wounded in an exchange of gunfire with a man wanted on assault charges earlier this month. Within hours of a memorial service for Calada, police officer Dan Rocha was murdered in an altercation, allegedly with a man who has a long criminal history in eastern Washington's Tri-Cities area, including multiple felonies. That suspect, identified as Richard Rotter, is being held on $5 million bail. Good. Well, how about no bail at all? That's the best advice I can give you. Over the weekend, Sheriff Troyer posted this message on Farcebook. I call it Farcebook. They didn't call it Farcebook. That's just one of my pet names for him. On Facebook, it said, at the end of our service for Dom, we learned Everett Officer Rocha was killed in the line of duty. Not just police officers, homicide rates of citizens are skyrocketing. Neither of these cop killing suspects should have been out on jail. Same with the other homicide suspects in the first 3 months of this year. We are all in this together. The liberal, progressive, socialist experiments have failed. Time to stop. Amen, Sheriff. Amen. Because you guys are out there breaking your butts, putting your lives on the line, trying to arrest these people, and these little weenies, these little Soros-installed prosecutors who are nothing but filthy communists, are turning these people back out with the express intention of spiking the crime rate. Don't you tell me it's just a bunch of misguided people. They are not misguided. They know exactly what they're doing. They're causing chaos in the society. They're trying to disrupt the society and cause confusion throughout American societies. That is one of the ways they destabilize countries. That's an old communist tactic, by the way. By the way, that's the same thing that Fidel Castro did back during the Mariel boat lift under, let's see, who was it? Was it Clinton? I don't remember which president it was. But he claimed that he was going to let a bunch of people escape Cuba and come to the United States. But he flooded the United States with felons from Cuban prisons. Not the political dissidents, no. The hardcore ones that had actually committed violent crimes. He turned them loose here in American society, and it does cause a disruption. Back to the article. If there may have been an example of the failed experiment, it might be Rotter, the suspect in Rocha's killing. Seattle's KOMO News reported, they said Rotter was the suspect of two outstanding warrants, including one for domestic violence assault and a hit-and-run case, both of which were filed in Benton County, according to prosecutors. Police in Kennewick, a city in south-central Washington, had issued an officer safety alert for Rotter. The Everett Herald reported Rotter was spotted, quote, moving guns from one car to another. Wait a minute. I thought Washington State had all this wonderful gun control. It was supposed to keep guns out of felons' hands. Wow. Doesn't appear to have been working much, because it didn't say he was moving a gun. It said moving guns, plural. Which, as a convicted felon, the article continues, he should not have been doing. KCPQ News said Rotter had a lengthy criminal history, including at least 18 felonies and hundreds of contacts with Kennewick police over the years. Talk radio hosts in Seattle were uniformly wondering how this suspect was even out on the streets with that kind of a record. Well, that's a good question. What's even more a better question is, how is the citizenry in Washington State supposed to defend themselves against people like Rotter? When he has no problem shooting cops, you think he has a problem shooting civilians? And the answer, the question was asked rhetorically, of course. You already know the answer, all right? In an exclusive telephone interview, Sheriff Troyer suggested the way to start turning this scenario around is to lock up criminals instead of releasing them almost automatically. Amen. You've got cops on the beat, on the street. They know what the deal is. They know these people. They've arrested them before. This guy had hundreds of run-ins with Kennewick police over the years. They knew him by sight, knew him by name, probably had his hairs numbered. And there was no mistaking who and what this guy was. How is it he kept being turned back out onto the street until he eventually took the life of a police officer? So, being that the media are essentially the propaganda wing of the Democrat Communist Party, it's hardly any surprise that the following article I'm about to get into was recently penned by one Michael Cohen, apparently no relation to the one that was sent to prison during Trump's presidency. And he made this, the title of his article is "Making It Easy to Carry a Concealed Gun is Absolute Madness." Really? Why do you say that, sir? Especially in light of what we just read, where there are people like Mr. Rotter out on the streets of Washington State, hundreds of run-ins with the police, and eventually killed a police officer. If he has no qualms about murdering a cop, do you think he has any qualms about murdering citizens and civilians? Now, the thrust of this article I'm about to get into is this guy, Mr. Cohen, believes that, you know, lax laws about, you know, carrying firearms are the problem. In other words, there need to be more infringements in order to cut down on violent crime. And that's why I asked, as I was reading the article, or noted, I should say, that this man was a career criminal and not a concealed carrier. You get that? This man was a career criminal, one who'd been convicted before and turned back out on the streets to basically inflict himself upon the people there in Kennewick. It was not concealed carriers. But yet you'll still have people like Mr. Cohen that point to the spiking violent crime rates and basically say the problem is the loosening of concealed carry laws. And the problem is states going to the constitutional carry basis. That is the problem. And gun deaths are spiking because of it. Nope, that's not true. Not at all. I'm going to go through this article and I'm going to take some pot shots at Mr. Cohen, because he needs to be pot shotted. He is an idiot, a blathering idiot at that. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And many of the stats that he cites are utter bull fertilizer. And I'm going to prove that as we go through here. What also I want you to get a hold of is the fact that some of the things I'm going to be telling you, matter of fact, one question in particular, I'm going to keep asking Mr. Cohen as we look at this, and asking rhetorically, of course, because I know he can't hear me. I am going to send him a copy and the link to this podcast. The question is one question that blows his idiocy out of the water every time I ask it. No matter what he says, there's one question and one question alone. Now, a lot of times we gun owners, we keepers and bearers, we lawful, God-fearing Americans, we people who are hardworking, tax-paying, harmless citizens, we get lumped into the pile with career criminals like Mr. Rotter we just read about. We get associated with violence and violent crime simply because we freely exercise our right to keep and bear arms. And we also get dragged into moronic arguments sometimes where we get to bantering statistics back and forth as if statistics prove anything. Statistics only prove that anybody can make up statistics. Even statistics by the CDC and other so-called or presumed reputable organizations, many of them have a slant to them too. And that's why I like to deal with plain, good old-fashioned facts and common sense when it comes to this. And there's one common sense question that's going to keep getting blasted out here throughout this entire article, and with good reason. So he begins the article like this: no permit, no problem. Indiana has just joined a growing list of states that made it legal to carry a concealed weapon. No. Indiana didn't make it legal. Indiana realigned itself with the Constitution, just to straighten that out for you. They made it legal to carry a concealed weapon with no permit or training required. What could go wrong? Well, I can answer that for you. Not much compared to New York City, Chicago, New Jersey, and other anti-rights states, Mr. Cohen. Yeah, he said every day in the United States, more than 110 Americans are killed with a gun. All right, just stop right there. I'm going to have to comment on that right off the bat, okay? Notice immediately he makes zero distinction between suicide victims, criminals, and lawful citizens using guns to A, either harm themselves and or B, others, okay? And the same amount of consideration is given towards when you're trying to separate murders from justifiable homicides. This immediately sets the tone for this, what I like to call a scripted puddle of moronics, because that's all this is. The fact is that out of approximately 40,000 deaths by firearm each year, more than half of them are suicides, and only roughly 20,000 of them are actual homicides. Some of them are justifiable homicides committed by police officers and armed concealed carriers. And what the author has done here, he's lumped all of them together in a very dishonest effort to give a false impression. But then again, like I said, members of the media, especially the so-called mainstream media, the liberal media, the socialist media, the Democrat communist propaganda wing, they are less than honest. And they try to skew things always in favor of their particular narrative. So let's do some math real quick just to put some of this in perspective, okay? There are roughly 120 million gun owners in America. And just for the sake, of being fair, we're going to lump all 40,000 firearm-related deaths into one big pile, since the author is obviously, he thinks that we should lump them all together, okay? The total percentage of gun deaths compared to gun owners only makes up roughly 0.0004%. That's less than 1%, Mr. Cohen, FYI, okay? That's less than 1% of gun-owning Americans. So feel free to convince us, sir. All of us lawful keepers and bearers, we responsible people, go ahead and convince us that we are some sort of a terrible problem that must be dealt with and or eradicated. And now right here is where I'd probably cue some really sad violin music, because I've said before, without emotion, the gun control narrative falls flat on its face. And he starts like this. These are mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, taken too soon from their families and friends. Well, if you think that's something, you got to see what abortion does. Yeah, it takes people way too soon from their families, but I'll digress. I said that because I know you're a very staunch abortion proponent, or which I should say infanticide proponent. Anyway, back to the article. Thanks to the actions of Republican state legislators in Indiana and the state's GOP Governor Eric Holcomb, these daily tragedies will likely rise. Really? Well, how so? Feel free to cite examples from other constitutional carry states, if you like, sir. We'll wait. Mm-hmm. He said last week Indiana became the latest state to make it legal for ordinary citizens to carry a concealed weapon on their person with no permit and no training. Oh, you dastardly ordinary citizens, you. Who do you think you are? Well, you're nothing but subjects to the state, and you know that. Know your place. Stay in your lane. No, you may not use guns to defend yourself. That's the state's job to defend you. Even if they can't get there in time, well, then it's your place to die. Why does this scare you, Mr. Cohen, that lawful, responsible people can strap a gun on without the government's permission? You know it is a right, huh? You know that, right? Or is this because you're an emasculated little waif of a man who's been told that allowing yourself to be the man that God intended you to be is somehow being toxic? Is that what you think? Mm-hmm. He continued, this follows the lead of two other states that passed such laws this year, Alabama and Ohio, and six states that enacted similar legislation last year. Legislatures in Georgia, Nebraska, South Carolina, and Wisconsin are also considering such legislation. Oh, the horrors! States have long allowed gun owners to carry a concealed weapon, but all but Vermont required them to go through a permit process, which often entailed a background check and a mandatory safety class. In many states, police could reject permit applications. Okay, hold up right there. Whoa, Mr. Cohen, you went flying right by the rebuttal to your own argument. Yeah, you went zipping by it because you named one particular state, sir, that is a shining ever-present rebuttal to your idiocy. Vermont. Hold up right there on Vermont. Let's look at Vermont, because you said all but Vermont required them to go through a permit process. Okay, well, let's look at the troubles that have happened in Vermont, because they haven't had a permitted process in the entire history of their state. They have always been a constitutional carry state since the very Constitution itself. So please expound on all the horrors that Vermont has been experiencing throughout their entire 231-year history of constitutional carry. Come on, lay them on us, baby. Surely you've got a pile of them. Yes, they have never required their citizens to go through a training process or a permitting process to keep and bear arms. And surely there's some sort of a problem here. Surely you can cite many examples from within Vermont of those dastardly, unpermitted concealed carriers doing something evil and nefarious with those firearms. No? Yeah, okay. These new laws, however, remove all restrictions. You mean like in Vermont? By the way, you do realize, Mr. Cohen, that the word restrictions pretty much embodies the word infringements, right? Okay. I'm sure you can quote that one, at least one part of the Second Amendment where it says shall not be infringed. That means shall not be restricted, sir. He said no background check, no training, no shooting exercises. You mean like in Vermont? Indeed, In permitless concealed carry states, residents can buy a weapon and carry it hidden on their body, even if they have no idea how to use that weapon properly. Okay, Mr. Cohen, back to Vermont. How many issues have they experienced throughout their entire 231-year history, during which time people bought weapons and carried them hidden on their bodies, as you presume, without first learning how to use them? Apparently, you think all people who carry guns are stupid dolts who have not sought out training. They're a bunch of careless idiots just waiting for a chance to pop a cap on somebody or basically shoot themselves in the foot or leg or worse yet. And they're just a bunch of idiots that shouldn't be exercising their right unless the state says they can and the state has approved them to exercise their right. The problem with all of those presumptions associated with what you just said is that they simply don't exist, sir. The overwhelming majority of responsible ordinary citizens, they do indeed seek out training prior to carrying their guns. You and your ilk, you create these straw issues and these straw people, and you prop them up and you talk about them as if they are definitively real, and they're not. Listen, I know so many people that have already gone through the permitting process here in Florida who still will not carry a gun because they don't feel like they're ready to. And I'm telling you, I've literally come across hundreds of people like that. Literally, throughout my last 20 or so years in this county, I have come across at least that many people. So don't tell me we're just a bunch of stupid jackasses who just go, oh, you're going to get me a gun. I'm going to wear it around. And the first sign of trouble, I'm going to start popping caps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the hyperbole that you guys employ and the nth degree suppositions that you come to. You're an idiot, Mr. Cohen. I don't know how you'd call yourself a journalist. And he said, all of this is happening at a time when firearm homicides in 2020 surpassed 45,000, the highest number yet recorded. Sir, that's a lie. Where'd you get your stats from? Because I looked up the stats. See, I'm one of those people that you don't like to read your articles, sir, because I look up the stats you quote. Yeah. In 2020, the year you cited, sir, firearm homicides were only 19,379. But even more importantly, I've got to ask you again, how many of those were felonious homicides committed by irresponsible, unpermitted carriers, or even permitted ones for that matter? That's the better question. He continues, sadly, while it's still too early to assess the full effect of recently passed permitless concealed carry laws, no, it's not. Vermont, Vermont, Vermont. You want to assess the full effect of unpermitted concealed carry? Vermont. Check out Vermont, moron. He said there is enough data available to suggest that they will lead to even more needless deaths. For example, we already know that the states with weaker gun laws have higher rates of gun violence, and those with strong gun laws have lower rates. And really? I mean, you do realize that you just lost all credibility with everybody that possesses the IQ above that of an earthworm, right? You know, because quite the opposite is true. My goodness, I can't believe you're actually trying to foist this crap upon your reading audience. Not surprisingly, he says, studies have shown that states with may issue concealed carry laws, in other words, laws that say they may or may not issue a permit, depending on whether or not they like you or you grease the right palms, which in certain states gives the police discretion as to who can carry concealed weapons. They have fewer incidents of gun violence than those that have less restrictive shall issue laws. Okay. No, I'm not going to run that rabbit trail. I really want to, but I won't. One such study conducted by the Boston University School of Public Health in 2017 found states with shall issue laws have homicide rates more than 10% higher than those with more restrictive laws. I checked out the study, Mr. Cohen. You're playing fast and loose with the facts. Yes, sir. The number claimed in that study was not 10% higher homicide rates. It was only 6.5% higher homicide rates. And again, I've got to ask you, how many of those homicides were committed by concealed carriers? Lawful, responsible people, whether permitted or not. That's the bigger question. This is what I'm talking about. You can get into a battle back and forth, and one guy will say, these stats say this. Oh, yeah, well, my thing says, my study I got here says the stats say this. And you can get back and forth in a never-ending numbers game and numbers war. Better than that, ask the question, how many of those murders were committed by lawful, responsible people carrying concealed firearms, whether with or without the state's permission? That's the better question. He continues, according to gun rights advocates, I don't advocate for rights for guns. I advocate for rights for people, okay? Yeah, I love you guys' lingo. According to gun rights advocates, these new laws are necessary because the current permit process is simply too onerous. But that is precisely the point. What's the point? Onerous, you know, requirements? An onerous process to exercise a right I was born with? He said it boggles the mind that anyone would want people running around with guns that have no training or experience in using. But of course, in America, the way we treat guns and gun ownership is anything but normal. I tell you what really boggles the mind is that anyone would want ignorant jackasses like you running around calling yourselves a journalist without putting you through any formal training. They let you buy laptops, phones, and everything like that without a permit. They let you write scripted piles of maggot-infested crap that prove you don't know anything about real investigative journalism. And yet, still, you publish your glaring ignorance all over the internet. But, of course, in America, the way we treat journalists and journalism is anything but normal. In signing the new legislation, he says, Holcomb said he trusts citizens of the Hoosier state to lawfully and responsibly carry a handgun in the state. Okay, what's wrong with that? Holcomb's trust in his fellow citizens is badly misplaced. I love your little shaded insults here, scumbag. You're saying that the lawful, responsible citizenry cannot be trusted and should not be trusted. He said his trust in his fellow citizens is badly misplaced because if he were correct, the U.S. would not have, by far, the most gun-related homicides of any developed country in the world. We don't. Again, you're playing fast and loose with the facts. Mm-hmm. We rank about number 9 or 10, I believe. And apparently you still haven't answered my question. How many lawful concealed carriers are committing murder with their concealed handguns? Especially in Vermont. He said, but try to imagine any public official taking the same attitude toward the issuing of driver's licenses. Would anyone consider it a good idea to let any adult legally get behind the wheel of a 2-ton automobile with no training, no permitting, and no proof that they actually know how to properly drive? Well, driving is not a right. Keeping and bearing arms is. And just how onerous are the old gun permitting rules anyway? A concealed carry permit in Ohio used to require paying a fee of at least $67, a background check, and 8 hours of training mainly focused on safety. For comparison's sake, Obtaining a license to cut hair in Ohio requires the completion of at least 1,500 hours enrolled in a cosmetology school program. Unless the person cutting your hair is the modern reincarnation of Sweeney Todd, chances are pretty good that you need not worry about dying in the barber's chair. And I'll tell you what I've got to say about that right after we take a little break to hear about the sponsors of this program. Stick around. We got more to go on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Freedom Guns in Rockledge, just north of Rockledge High School, on the opposite side of the road, 1255 Florida Avenue, Suite A. You can check them out at freedom-guns.com. And better yet, just stop in there in person and meet Mike and his son Mike and Dennis and the rest of the crew out there. Got a great selection of handguns, long guns, ammunition, accessories, holsters, magazines. What are you looking for? Mike and the boys got you covered out there at Freedom Guns. If you need a nice big Liberty safe to stow all them guns in, well, he offers those too. He's got a floor full of them out there you can look at, and he offers free delivery and installation. Again, check them out at freedom-guns.com. When you stop down there, or if you're out of state and you call and maybe order a gun from him and have it shipped to your dealer, make sure you tell him you heard about him on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
The Shooting Straight Radio podcast is proudly sponsored in part by The Gun Sight in Merritt Island, with a 9-lane, 25-yard indoor shooting range, handgun and machine gun rentals, a fully stocked gun store with plenty of long guns, handguns, ammunition, and accessories to choose from. They're your one-stop shop in Merritt Island for all things necessary to responsibly exercise your Second Amendment right. Check them out at gunsightrange.com or stop by in person at 125 South Banana River Drive. And make sure you tell them that you heard about the Gun Sight on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
Want to purchase a brick on the Walk of Heroes at the American Police Hall of Fame? Go to uswalkofheroes.org and enter Royce15 in the coupon code for 15% off. Want to learn how to be your own first responder? The civilian training classes at the American Police Hall of Fame are designed for just that. Want to support law enforcement training? Contact us at the Hall of Fame. Go to www.hallofamestep.org for more information. The American Police Hall of Fame, proud sponsors of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
Yes, huge thank yous to all of the fine sponsors of this podcast, this program. Good people. I can't recommend any of them enough. Fine folks. Freedom Guns, Gunside, American Police Hall of Fame. Nothing but good people. And, of course, OnlineAmmo.com. Don't forget them. You caught them out front of this program. And check them out, OnlineAmmo.com. Back to this article where Mr. Michael Cohen is bemoaning the fact that concealed carriers won't have to lease their right back from the state of Ohio and Indiana and 22 other states, hopefully soon Florida. And that somehow we just simply cannot be trusted to freely exercise our rights unless the state leases it back to us somehow and oversees the free exercise thereof through a licensing program. And he started saying how the cosmetology license in Ohio requires 1,500 hours enrolled in a cosmetology school program. And he said, unless the person cutting your hair is the modern reincarnation of Sweeney Todd, chances are pretty good that you need not worry about dying in the barber's chair. Okay, moron, becoming a cosmetologist is not a God-given, constitutionally protected right. Can't find it in there anywhere. Defending yourself against all threats to your person, your family, and society is a God-given right. How about we force you media maggots to go through extensive training like Ohio does its cosmetologist. I mean, you're wishing that on us, right? Would you like that? How about you have to go through 1,500 hours of training? Especially since you guys are the most irresponsible people on the planet when it comes to freely exercising the First Amendment. You want to talk about us and the Second Amendment? Well, I got some stats for you later, boy, and we're going to have a little fun with you. He said the argument commonly made by gun rights advocates that only a gun provides sufficient protection from violent bad guys is undone by the well-known fact that possessing a gun significantly increases the likelihood that the gun owner or someone close to them will die from gun violence. The only problem is, sir, is that is not a well-known fact. It's a well-known lie crafted by people like you that hate certain parts of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but it is not a well-known fact. Nice try, though. He said a more pertinent and less discussed argument is that all of us would be safer if there were fewer untrained shooters toting concealed weapons. And yet you still cannot prove how many of us are untrained. Feel free to cite the stats that show these fictitious straw people that you've created have been a public safety hazard in any way, shape, or form, especially in Vermont. Take, for example, he said, what happened last month after a man was held up at an ATM in Houston. He took out a gun and fired at a car that he believed was driven by the assailant. Instead, there was a family of five inside the minivan. It wasn't a minivan, it was a pickup truck. Rather than avenging the armed robbery, he took the life of a 9-year-old girl. Yes, sir, that was a tragedy. But being an unlicensed carrier is not what made him do something foolish. Being hot-headed is. That's where he went wrong. Because one of the things that you're taught, if you have any sense at all, is once someone is no longer a threat, you don't go firing after them. You have to consider everybody around you. This man was hot-headed and just started shooting. So how is it that you take a single incident like this and you kind of presume that one idiot like him represents all Americans who carry firearms without the state's permission? That is what you're trying to project here. You know that. He said these kinds of tragic incidents happen all too often in America and rarely garner more than a few days' attention. That's not true. You guys blow these things up out of proportion all the time. He said a generation of Americans have been told that they have no responsibility to retreat. Now, here's where he attacks so-called stand your ground laws. Have no responsibility to retreat. Okay, stop right there. Are you saying that we're required to retreat? And what if we can't retreat? They've been told they have no responsibility to retreat and every right to mete out the ultimate punishment to those who threaten them, even if the person is fleeing. That's a lie. Stand your ground laws do not enable someone to fire on somebody who is no longer a threat. You are a liar. He said, as a result, 38 states have so-called stand your ground laws. And by the way, it's not meting out punishment, the ultimate punishment, as you call it. It's called defending oneself. I love your hyperbole. He said, with permitless concealed carry, these tragedies will only multiply. Okay. Maybe you could look at a state that's had permitless carry for years, like Vermont has had for 231 years, and you can tell us how bad such incidents have multiplied there. How about that? Why don't you start there? He said it's no doubt a good part of the reason why overwhelming numbers of Americans, as much as 88%, oppose these new, less restrictive laws. It's also the reason that police organizations are almost unanimously opposed to these new laws. That's not true. He said the chief of Indiana State Police spoke out against permitless concealed carry. So what? Since when was the free exercise of our rights contingent upon the opinions of a police officer, no matter how high ranking? So too did the Indiana State Fraternal Order of Police, the State Association of Chiefs of Police, and the Indiana Prosecuting Attorneys Council. Okay. Since when do police unions, fraternities, and chiefs of police, since when are their opinions, the contingency upon which we should or should not exercise rights we were born with? Now, what if police unions and fraternities and chiefs of police spoke out against permitless journalism? How would you feel about that? Huh? Do you have a permit to be a journalist? You might have a press ID, but that doesn't mean crap. Doesn't mean you're licensed. What if they spoke out against you and the things you write? And believe me, we have every reason to. You're a big pile of crap. You're a liar. What if they spoke out about that and said you have no right to report on anything unless you've gone through 1,500 hours of training, just like a cosmetologist should, huh? Well, that's what you're wishing on concealed carriers. He said, with more people on the street potentially carrying a gun, police will almost certainly become even more skittish about the potential of getting shot by a gun-toting citizen. Not true. Texas recently, the police there, the beat cops, the street cops, they said, no problem at all. We're not having any issues. Yeah, all the other permitless carry states like Vermont, no issues. No issues reported. There's no problem. Yes, because unlike you, jackass, they don't lump concealed carriers and lawful keepers and bearers of arms together with the criminals that they already know. And they do know the criminal element there. They're good at their job. That's what they do. They know who the criminals are and who the citizens are. They don't make any assumptions like you do about them. Oh, and yes, they're police officers. Yeah, well, their opinions matter, right? I mean, you just cited some police officers and said their opinions matter when it comes to the free and lawful exercise of our rights. Well, here's some other cops in Texas saying they've had no problems. What about them? And they're not the ones sitting in the comfortable chair behind the desk, drinking coffee all day and eating donuts and flirting with the secretaries and stuff. They're the ones out there on the beat, on the street, doing the job, doing the work. And they said there's no problem. So how is it their opinion is null and void because you don't like it, huh? He said that will undoubtedly lead to more shootings by cops already trained to believe that every citizen they encounter could be carrying a gun. Yes, they are trained that way. Very true. But again, how come there's no issues like this being reported in all the other states that have had constitutional carry for years, including Vermont? Yeah. He said, but ultimately, the power of the National Rifle Association. Yeah, y'all like to use him as your whipping boy. I got news for you. There's 120 million gun owners in America. There is less than 5 million of them are members of the NRA. The NRA is not the people you need to worry about. You need to worry about GOA. You need to worry about people who are not members of any of them. We're the ones you got to worry about, especially up there on Capitol Hill. The power of the NRA, the National Rifle Association, and the pro-gun lobby is simply too strong. Oh, I love the way you make us out to be one, some giant gargantuan, Godzilla that just can't be stopped. Good. I want you to think that way. Because I'll tell you what, you don't know the half of it. We dadgum sure cannot be stopped. We will never, ever get to the place where we turn our guns in and cease our exercising our right to keep and bear arms. He said in 2019, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine introduced a series of gun control measures after a mass shooting in Dayton took the lives of 9 people and wounded 27. It was the second mass shooting of that day in America, the other being the massacre of 22 people in a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. Okay, a question for you, sir. Was it a concealed carrier in either of those shootings who committed them? No? Then please tell me why the free exercise of our rights should be contingent upon the actions of bad people, or yet contingent upon the opinions of police officers or police unions. Why is it that our rights should be leased back to us simply because of the actions of one criminal? You're trying to tell me that criminals and those criminals that committed those actions are the representative of all lawful, responsible keepers and bearers of arms, and nothing could be so diametrically opposite from the truth. He said, but that was then. And now DeWine is running for re-election this year in a crowded GOP primary field. Let's face it, there are a few better ways to damage one's support among Republican primary voters than by proposing sensible regulations on gun safety and ownership. Okay, what sensible regulations are you referring to, huh? Because I haven't read about any of them in this article yet. And feel free to explain exactly how the regulations you're stumping for will actually keep the public safer, huh? Will actually lend to public safety, especially in light of the fact that concealed carriers, permitted or not, are the most law-abiding demographic on the planet. And we're not the ones murdering people. We are not the ones committing the crimes, you stupid, cabbage-brained twit. You keep pointing to criminal violence committed with firearms, and you assign 100% of the blame upon lawful keepers and bearers. And you want to know why you do that? Because you are the opposite of me and my fellow concealed carriers. You are irresponsible, and your lies, just like bullets, fly out of your muzzle irresponsibly. And once you've penned, and once you've uttered them, you have zero control over how far they go or the damage that they do. And yet you're still out there belching out lies, belching out your idiotic opinions that are based on your creation of fictitious people and fictitious and presumed actions that have not even happened, nor will ever happen. He said, for Holcomb, DeWine, and every other Republican governor who has signed a permitless concealed carry law, the politics of that decision are crystal clear. So, too, tragically, is the consequence of such political cynicism, namely, more dead Americans at the hands of an untrained, unlicensed gun owner. One last time, idiot. How many of these fictitious, untrained gun owners have been responsible for murder or gun crimes in general in any of the current 24 constitutional carry states, or for that matter, throughout the entirety of the country? I can answer that for you. I have the answer, and it's an actual number, okay? And as a matter of fact, this number is pretty close to your IQ. Over a 15-year period here in the United States of America, the totality of all known concealed carriers combined, because a lot of them aren't licensed because they don't need to be. These are the ones that are known to be licensed. Out of all the licensed concealed carriers, over a 15-year period was 881. Guess what that percentage is, sir, when stacked up against the 120 million gun owners here in America? 0.006% over a 15-year period. Okay, now let's work some other percentages just for comparison's sake. And I want to show you how ridiculous you're being, okay? There are presently 1,062,205 licensed physicians in the United States, and yet that demographic commits over 250,000 malpractice deaths annually. Annually, sir. Every year. Not a 15-year period. Annually, they kill 250,000 on average Americans every year, as opposed to 881 over a 15-year period. You follow me yet? Jackass? You understand that is 23.53% of licensed, trained doctors. They're licensed. They're insured. They have to undergo a minimum of 8 years of training prior to licensure. And they have to work as an internship before they can get their license. And yet, without hesitation, you will pick up your phone tomorrow and you're going to make an appointment for a sinus infection or an ingrown toenail, a persistent cough, or any other malady that you can't tend to yourself. You will call them, even though 23.53% of them kill people every year. 250,000 people in America annually. They're trained. They're licensed. But they still kill exponentially more. We concealed carriers could even begin to catch up if we went on a murder spree for the next 10 years. Whew. Yeah, I get a little wound up on that. Now, one more thing I'll leave you with before I send you on your way. Thanks for listening thus far. It's about to get even funnier. I talked about recently, Washington State passed signed into law by Governor Inslee, their magazine capacity ban. You cannot own a magazine now, or you cannot buy one after June or July 1st that holds more than 10 rounds. Well, it's so, you know, necessary that magazines can't hold 10 rounds because these awful keepers and bearers of arms can't be trusted with them. Why wouldn't you ban them tomorrow? Or better yet, why would you go and have a state auction where you're selling such magazines back to the general public? Oops. Oh, yes, that's what they're doing. GovDeals.com. GovDeals.com. I found some nice little jewel here. This is a Washington State auction. And here is the auction ID number 22832. It's now closed. They've sold them all. But here's the ad. It says lots of 100, a lot of 100 pistol and AR clips. Okay, magazines, idiots. 100 of these things. Pistol and AR clips. It's sold for $1,425. Wow, that's a premium. Excuse me. They had, I'm trying to scroll down to, oh, by the way, yeah, you had to wear a mask to pick up your order, blah, 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 blah. It's a description. Up for auction is a lot of approximately 100 used handgun and AR clips. The assortment includes Kimber, Ruger, Glock, Sig Sauer, Smith & Wesson, and much more. A variety of calibers include 9mm, 380 ACP, 45 ACP, 40 Smith & Wesson, AR-15, I guess that means 5.56, 22 caliber, and 357, and many others. It says, see the pictures for more details. So how do I know that this was something they did recently? Well, because in the Q&A section down below, it dated 3/23/22. One of the questions is, hello, do you ship? Let me know and thank you. Dated 3/23/22. Okay, let me just throw out a reminder of something I read here on the air, and that was Attorney General Bob Ferguson's comments when this ban passed the state legislature in Washington. He said, today is the fulfillment of years of hard work from so many. Oh, cue the violin music again, please. More than 5 years ago, I stood with the parents of shooting victims, legislators, mayors, police chiefs, and representatives from faith communities to say enough is enough, and proposed banning the sale of high-capacity magazines in Washington State. Today, our legislature chose public safety over the gun lobby, and I am deeply appreciative for their service. This policy will save lives and make our communities safer from gun violence. But you just sold 100 of them back to the general public prior to this ban taking place. Does this not prove that Washington State knows full well that such items and their ownership by private citizens are not the cause of violent crime? If banning these magazines were so essential to saving lives in Washington State, why didn't they simply destroy these magazines instead of auction them off? I think the Second Amendment Foundation has a massive piece of evidence against the state should they decide to challenge the new magazine ban, this new mag ban law. I'm sure they're going to do it, too. They've already been talking about doing it. Oh, yes, you can't have these magazines. After June 1st, you can't have them. Oh, well, we've got some surplus ones here. We'll sell them to you if you want. You can't make this crap up. You just simply cannot make this crap up. It is too funny, is it not? Well, thanks for hanging with me on this edition of the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Again, don't forget to ask the question. You guys point to gun deaths this and gun deaths that and this statistic that. How many of them were licensed or unlicensed lawful, responsible concealed carriers? That's the question that takes it right down to where it needs to be. Huge thank yous to the sponsors of this program, OnlineAmmo.com, the American Police Hall of Fame, Gunsight, and Freedom Guns. Thank you all. You guys rock. You are much appreciated. I will see you back on the next episode of the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Until then, keep your head on a swivel. Keep your gun loaded. Keep it on your person when you're outside your home. Keep it close by when you're inside your home. And never forget that incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out. So turn it on. Shooting Straight Show.